You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are presented by DraftKings. Love those dudes. And love those of you that go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app to bet on the draft and use the code Ross. Or just start playing best ball on the DraftKings app when they open that bad boy up shortly after the NFL draft. I'm Ross Tucker. I probably said that already. Sorry. At Ross Tucker NFL on social media. You can check out the pod at Ross Tucker Pod. It's really the best account to follow on any social platform because then you know exactly when our producer extraordinaire Jack Connell has posted the show, and you get the two or three best highlight clips of every show, like my guy, the fantasy gangster Joe Dolan, getting the entire city of Cleveland upset by saying that Nelson Agholor is as good of a player as Jerry Jeudy. At FG underscore Dolan, if you want to yell at him and you're a Browns fan. I mean, in fairness, Joe, you kind of just say, like, look at their stats, right?
The stats are on a pencil and paper kind of comparison, pretty similar. And I thought it was surprising that the point was that the Browns have faith that Jerry Jeudy can be more than he's been in the NFL if they're going to give him $41 million guaranteed. That was overall the point of the comparison.
Absolutely. And listen, there are a lot of people that agree with you, by the way. You can always get the content from Joe and his unbelievable army of content producers over at fantasypoints.com using the code 24FEAST so they know that you heard about them from us, including the great work of Brett Whitefield, who is an up-and-coming rising star in the fantasy community, in the data community, in the NFL draft community. Check him out on social media at BG Whitefield. Going to have Brett joining us this week and next week. We're taking sort of our first look at these rookies from a fantasy football perspective before they actually get drafted. Why does that matter? Well, if you listen to today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast with Chase Daniel, certainly situations and circumstance matter. But you also should probably have a pretty good idea of what you think of them before they're placed into those situations. So that's why we brought Brett on. He's the man when it comes to these things. We'll talk quarterbacks, running backs today. More quarterbacks than running backs. Next week, we'll do tight ends and receivers. Way more receivers than tight ends. But Brett, let's start with the quarterbacks. And I think what jumps out to me the most, just having followed you on social media and seeing some of your posts, Brett, you might be the guy that's the highest in the media on J.J. McCarthy. So why don't we start there? It feels to me like at this point, Caleb Williams is going one to the Chicago Bears. I'd be surprised if Jaden Daniels did not go number two to the Washington Commanders. Then it kind of gets interesting, Brett, between Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, maybe even Penix Jr. But why do you love J.J. McCarthy so much?
So the term I've used that kind of has, I think, summarizes how I feel about him really well is he's the perfect marriage between high floor and high ceiling. I think a lot of times when you're talking high ceiling guys, you're talking about them, you know, in terms of like there's a lot of missed potential there. They don't have a floor. Vice versa with high floor guys. Like, usually high floor guys get billed as this safe prospect, but not a lot of upside there. And you know, you're kind of capped. I think Kenny Pickett was deemed a high floor guy, not a lot of upside. But long story short, I think JJ has both. And when I've gone back, this is my 10th draft class I've scored, prospect by prospect. I've even gone back deeper in quarterbacks, and I've looked at the traits that really translate to success in the NFL. I see guys that do what J.J. McCarthy does, which he's exceptional pre and post snap. He's got really accurate arm, you know, at all three levels of the field. I know there's some concerns about the amount of clubs he has in the bag, right? Like, he's a one-speed thrower, kind of. But he's great in the pocket, and this is the one that really stands out to me. He is phenomenal in the pocket, handling pressure, understanding when stunts and twists are coming, how to reset that offensive line. I know as a former O-lineman yourself, Ross, you love that about a quarterback, right? He's not going to get his guys in trouble. He knows how to, you know, maximize that leverage. Going to keep himself clean ultimately, and I think this is a huge win point for JJ, and I know there's all the volume concerns, yada, 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 and we can probably get into that even more, but ultimately, I just think he does all of the QB-centric things really well. He's going to keep his team on schedule, play in rhythm, do what the play is designed to do, which is something you can't say about a lot of these quarterbacks in this class.
So a lot of good things there. I'll say this. The pocket movement thing is super important. And, you know, we have examples of Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, to a lesser extent, Matthew Stafford, greatly improving their accuracy. I don't know. Can you guys think of anybody that's like greatly improved their innate pocket feel, pocket awareness? I know those guys work on it. I see them do the drills, but boy, there's some guys like Brady was unbelievable at it. And then there's other guys that they just can't figure it out. They just don't move. Or there's guys that move the wrong way. I mean, there's guys that move into trouble. It drives me bananas.
There's a stat that it doesn't correlate one-to-one to NFL quarterback draft busts, but pressure to sack ratio in college, there are a lot of guys who were red flags in that regard. Brett, I know Joe Burrow overcame that. Certain other guys overcame that, but pressure to sack ratio in college can predict, maybe to a greater degree than some other stats, an NFL draft bust. And I think McCarthy stands out extremely well in that particular stat. Now, I also know Michigan had a great offensive line, but as we've said on this podcast, Ross, when we were talking about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, sacks are very much a quarterback stat in the NFL, and they can be in college as well.
Brett, I think I've seen this, but I want to confirm. Is it fair to say JJ is your number one guy, or do you still have other guys ahead of him?
He is my number one guy. Yep. He's been my QB1 since the week before the Super Bowl. And I think Caleb is great talent as well, but I do have JJ ahead of him.
Who's number two? Sounds like Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams. And what's crazy about the two, if you juxtapose them, is they're polar opposite sides of the spectrum, right? Caleb, he's bringing elite arm talent and playmaking ability. And I think JJ has that in his game. But Caleb's entire success, you know, that developmental runway is going to be predicated on whether all that stuff translates to the NFL. And I think, you know, the NFL has changed a lot over the years, but I still think the pocket passer, you know, with creative upside is a little more valuable than what Caleb's doing right now. We just saw Justin Fields, for example, kind of flake out in Chicago pretty quickly and get traded for a bag of balls. Not saying that's Caleb's fate by any means, but I do think there is some concern when you watch Caleb. And the reason I have him below J.J. McCarthy is just he doesn't necessarily run the offense the way it's supposed to be run. A lot of turndowns. You see a lot of open turndowns in that offense. Now, the talent, the raw talent is awesome, right? Incredible legs, incredible feel, innate feel for playmaking ability. I think he's somewhat on that Pat Mahomes spectrum as far as what he can do out of structure. I also think Mahomes is elite in structure, though, where I wouldn't say that about Caleb Williams. I think he's got a lot of development to do in structure.
I like the way you talk, dude. Seriously. He's legit, Joe. I just like you're using terms I love. Turndowns, structure. I'm loving it, Brett.
We know how to pick him at fantasy points, Russ. We know how to
What's
pick.
That?
We know how to pick him at fantasy points.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah. So, who's number three? I got other questions for you, but let's get the evals on the guys. Who's number three?
Jaden Daniels is my three. What he brings with his legs, it just gives him such a high floor, you know. And this is something we've seen over and over recently, whether it's Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts or even Kyler Murray. Like those legs give an offense a relatively high floor, and I do think he's a really good passer as well. He's got some, you know, some issues. He's like allergic to throwing over the middle of the field. He doesn't want to attack the middle very, especially at the intermediate level. It's really like, I think that I found like two or three throws all of last season where he really did that, you know, in a tight window, not to a guy running wide open. So, but I think that running ability, man, that just gives such a high floor. And I think that, you know, if I had to predict a guy that won't be a complete bust, I would predict Daniels to be that guy.
Wow. Is it fair to say he was thrown to the outside because that's where Neighbors and Thomas were?
Absolutely. I mean, there is some truth to that. I think the LSU offense didn't set him up well for throwing across the middle of the field. It's a very vertical, linear offense. Yeah, they want to push the ball downfield, attack the edges. You know, college hashes being so wide, there's an ocean to throw into out there. So it definitely makes some sense.
Let's get to your number four. I've got questions for both you and Joe about the quarterback position and rookies and fantasy and all that stuff. But I want to get the evals in first. Your fourth guy, is it May or are Nix or Penix ahead of him?
It is Drake May. Ultimately, you know, if you like what Caleb brings to the table, I think Drake does those things well as also, just not as high of a level. He also, the weaknesses I listed with Caleb Williams, I think that also applies to Drake May. And the one thing that really dropped him down to number four for me is the throw-for-throw accuracy just wasn't there, especially in 2023. Really inconsistent. He's got a little bit of a wonky base. You know, these are all things he can clean up, of course. But when we, you know, I want to project guys to the next level. I want a little bit cleaner a little bit cleaner mechanically. And I think Drake's got a lot of work to do in that regard. The North Carolina offense also didn't do him any favors as far as like teaching him how to read out defenses and getting through progressions, you know, a lot of half field reads and stuff like that. So ultimately I think Drake is a very talented dude. This is a really good class, you know, so he's my QB four.
Maybe he just needs to relax, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with his friends while he's getting ready to get drafted, living life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly, Drake. Beer, Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Okay. Is there any other guy? And obviously the two that come to mind are Nix and Penix Jr. Any other guy that you think could legitimately be very fantasy relevant here as a rookie quarterback?
So it's interesting because I think Penix has a lot of upside, especially like if you like Jared Goff or CJ Stroud, he's on that spectrum. Pocket passer, not going to do much with his legs, can't really throw on the move, but you get him in the right environment, like say the Las Vegas Raiders, where he's going to have Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers and a nice stable of weapons there with a decent offensive line. I think that offensive line could be improved, but ultimately they got some grit there. I think Penix could be huge for fantasy, and you know, you're talking about value too, right? Because he's going to be arguably the fifth quarterback taken in fantasy drafts, maybe sixth, depending on where Nix goes. But yeah, I really like Penix. I think there's a lot of upside there. His, you know, throw for throw, he's very accurate. I think he feels and understands pressure well. You know, Joe mentioned the pressure to sack ratio. This is a dude that literally never gets sacked. You know, he's gonna run the offense the way it's supposed to be run, and I get massive Jared Goff vibes when I watch him. Left-handed Jared Goff, that is.
Wow, that's interesting. And then your thoughts on Nix?
Yeah, Nix is good. He's, you know, for his accurate, everyone wants to call him the accurate guy in the class. I think when you remove screen passes, he had over 100 completions on screens last year. And you actually look at the volume of throws downfield and whether the accuracy was good or not. I don't think he was elite in that category, Ross. So I'm a little lower on Nix, I think, than most. Even on completed balls, the ball location wasn't great. Leaving a lot on the back hip, you know, kind of limiting the rack element there. I do think there's an opportunity for him, though, in the fantasy landscape. If he lands, say, you know, Denver's desperate for a quarterback. Like, what are they doing next year if they either they take him at 12 or move up in the late part of the first round to take him there, or even maybe just wait on him in the second round? I don't know. But he's going to end up starting right away, probably, or at least at some point in year one. So, yeah, he's got fantasy value from that standpoint, I think. you know, there's a chance he legitimately gets on the field next year, which automatically makes him valuable.
So I guess from my perspective, Joe, for rookie fantasy quarterbacks, I want your opinion on the value that they've shown in recent years. I guess the guy that I'd be highest on is just Jaden Daniels because of the running ability. I think he's going to the Commanders. I think he'll start the whole year. You know, I like the rushing yards I think that he'll have. I guess Caleb Williams to a little bit of a lesser extent, but being able to have DJ Moore, you know, Cole Kmet and Keenan Allen, I don't know. I don't know about the guys after that from a fantasy. I mean, even I know Brett loves McCarthy, but if he's going to like the Patriots, and I know McCarthy can run a little bit. I don't know how much they'll ask him to run. Just kind of your thoughts, Joe, on rookie quarterback fantasy value in general, and then based on Brett's breakdown, these guys this year.
Well, first and foremost, I'll let you know that Caleb Williams is already going on some best ball websites as a ninth round pick. So people view him as going to the Bears, where the Bears obviously have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They've made some moves to really insulate a rookie quarterback. So I think Caleb Williams is going to be the obvious guy to be high on. The thing I like about all of the big four, Penix doesn't really qualify here, but all of the big four have mobility. Now, Jaden Daniels has mobility, but all of the big four, including McCarthy, can add value with their legs to an offense. Now, the thing about rookie quarterbacks is, you'll remember last year, Anthony Richardson was being drafted as like a QB1 because of the mobility. But as we saw, CJ Stroud was the guy who really ended up being the valuable guy. So let me break it down this way. Because, Ross, you were talking about people yelling at me on social media. I had somebody come to me and say, the last thing I want to hear is stuff like Bryce Young is my most drafted best ball quarterback. And I will fully admit Bryce Young was my most drafted best ball quarterback last year. I would make the same mistake again, though. Because if I applied the same process to CJ Stroud, I'd look like a genius. And it wasn't so much, like, look, I liked Bryce Young more than CJ Stroud coming out. There are a lot who agreed with me, including the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young was significantly worse than I could have imagined. CJ Stroud was significantly better than I could have imagined. So one of the things that I'm trying to learn this year is, for somebody like maybe a Drake May or a JJ McCarthy, who's going to be going later in the best ball process than Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, don't rely on your scouting report. Diversify a little bit, because there is a chance one of those rookies is going to stand out. I'm not trying to say, look, CJ Stroud might have ended up having the best rookie season for a quarterback of all time. That is a high bar for somebody like a Drake May or a JJ McCarthy or a Jaden Daniels or anybody to get over. But if it looks like one of these guys is going to start 16 games, 17 games, add them into your best ball portfolio. They do sometimes end up contributing right away. And the fact that all of them sans Penix have plus mobility. Now, Penix is out there on social media saying, hey, look, I ran a 4.5. I can do it if I need to. He just didn't show it as part of his game at Washington. I think he stylizes himself as a pocket passer. But if any of these guys are going to be looking like they're starting 17 games, they're going to be valuable, and they're cheap. And they're going to be cheap because the value is unknown. Look at CJ Stroud now. He's getting drafted as a top five best ball quarterback. You want to take bets on those unknowns in the later rounds. And I think most of these guys are going to start sooner rather than later.
Let's move over to running back, Brett, where it's not being talked about as much because there aren't thought to be any first-round picks. But here's what I know. The Dallas Cowboys are taking a running back. They're taking him pretty high, and he's going to start for them. That's what I think. So we at least have one fantasy-relevant rookie running back, whoever the Cowboys pick. There's probably another team or two, Joe, that you're all over, that you've got pegged as taking a rookie running back. Is there a guy or two that you really like, Brett?
Yeah, I'll throw three names at you, especially for the Dallas Cowboys specifically. First one would be Trey Benson. He's not my RB1, but I think for the Cowboys, you're taking a swing on a guy that has potential three-down upside. Like, they need an every-down player, right? Like, this is Like their running back room is a little bare right now. So Benson, you know, he's got all the traits you look for. I mean, he's bursty. He's got good top end speed. He's got great vision, and he can make guys miss. You check those three boxes for me, I'm gonna like you just no matter what. Then you add to the fact that he actually is pretty good as a receiver, and I know he's a little stiff in the hips. He's not going to get out there and run routes against safeties and win that way. But as far as the screen game goes, the check down game, you know, some easy throws over the middle, I think he's more than serviceable, and he's pretty good in pass pro too. He needs to clean up some technique in pass pro, but he'll come up and deliver a hit. So I think Benson would be a slam dunk. Now, where they're rumored to take one of these guys really depends on the valuation for me. Like, first round's got to be out of the question, but who knows with the Dallas Cowboys, you know? So.
You said Trey Benson, not your RB1. Who is your RB1?
My RB1 is Michigan running back Blake Corum, actually. Corum, you know, if you put on the tape, the 2021 tape, the 2022 tape, it is absolutely unbelievable. 23, coming off the major knee surgery, it took him until about the Penn State game, game 9 or 10 in the season, to really come alive. But he did look back. The pro day numbers were pretty good. The combine numbers were good. So I think he is back. But man, that 21 season, he looked like he could be a three down running back. He kind of, the Donovan Edwards role that he's been playing the last couple of years is this, you know, slasher, scat back, receiving option. But Blake Corum invented that role in 2021 and then, you know, turned into more of the every down, early down runner kind of guy. So I think Corum can be a good receiver in the NFL. He has elite make-you-miss potential. There's a couple plays on his 22 tape that just absolutely blow your mind where you're trying to figure out how he got out of it. As a low 4.5 guy too, he's got enough breakaway speed where you give him a little crease, he's going to make you pay for it. Now, I don't think he's going to outrun elite corners or anything like that, but he's going to get the job done, and the vision is so superb. And Ross, one of the things I love about these Michigan guys, and Texas too for that matter, is the scheme they come from. They're used to playing behind every run concept. So they got a lot of reps in zone, but they have a ton of reps in gaps concepts, power, counter. They're good at setting up pullers. You know, they're good at making linebackers commit on zone reads. Like, they have a really good diversified portfolio there, and that skill set translates to the NFL right away typically.
Well, that is so interesting because a lot of people have a bunch of running backs ahead of Blake Corum. Yeah. I don't know if that's still some of the injury concern or whatever. Joe, I do want to make sure we get this in. I don't know if you know off the top of your head other teams that you think will draft a running back who might start, but whoever gets drafted by the Cowboys, that is a good situation. I mean, with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, I still think the offensive line will be pretty good, even though they lost a couple guys. That is a very good, I mean, a team that should win a bunch of games and you have leads. That's a really good situation for a rookie running back to get into.
So, Ross, the Chargers, I believe, are the betting favorite to actually draft Blake Corum and be reunited with Jim Harbaugh there. The Chargers could draft an offensive lineman in the first round. Still wondering where, you know, Ross, everybody uses the cliche, ooh, this is where the draft starts. The Chargers might end up being that pick where the draft kind of starts, because they could draft a wide receiver, they could trade down, they could draft an offensive lineman, but I think a lot of folks are projecting Blake Corum to go back to the Chargers. Now, as it relates to the Dallas Cowboys, they just signed Royce Freeman, which, I mean, he's a professional who can give you some carries, yay. I believe they have hosted Jonathan Brooks on a pre-draft visit, though, and look, the elephant in the room for Jonathan Brooks is he's coming off a major knee injury, but that's a guy who, Brett, I think you mentioned he might have been your RB1 had he not had the injury, because the skill set is obvious for Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, skill set's obvious. You just wonder, you know, a team like the Cowboys who have to have a guy this year, like Brooks is going to miss a good part of his rookie season, even if he comes back early. Like, is he going to give you, you know, what he is? Like, we've seen a recent example of a lot of guys. Dobbins, Javonte Williams, Breece Hall. It takes a little bit of time to get back to normal.
What did you think of Brooks, though, as a player, Brett?
Awesome. I mean, RB1 level talent for sure. Three down skill set. Reminds me a little bit of Alvin Kamara. I think he's more slashy and, you know, fluid than he is, you know, explosive. But I've seen Jamal Charles comps. I don't really feel that. I don't think he has that level of explosiveness. But can slip tackles all day long. Really good receiver. Good vision. Again, same concept with the Michigan offense applies to Texas. He's seen every concept there is, so he's gonna know what to do in the NFL.
Is there one more guy, quickly, Brett, out of Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, Tyrone Tracy, Ray Davis that you could see having a really good rookie year.
I love Marshawn Lloyd. If you like DeAndre Swift's game, that's the guy for you. Super elusive, like really hard to get your hands on him. Slippery, explosive, good hands. Has some fumble issues, though. I think that might scare some teams. Vision's a little bit of a concern as well, but sometimes if you got a good offensive line in front of you, the vision doesn't necessarily matter. Just run.
You got to check these guys out on social media. They are excellent. Joe is at FG underscore Dolan, the fantasy gangster. Brett is at BG Whitefield. Can't wait to talk receivers and tight ends with Brett next week. Of course, fantasypoints.com. Use that code 24feast. You can always, by the way, check us out on YouTube. Lots of people do. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. That was awesome. Other than that, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.